This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone. While we await more news about Omicron, let's remember how we learned about this new variant in the first place. Scientists across the globe detected it and promptly told us. On November 22nd, a Hong Kong public health researcher shared the genomes of a new coronavirus variant to the Global Initiative on Sharing All Influenza Data, a database community otherwise known as GISAID. The next day, Dr. Sukalele Moyo submitted more data on Omicron on behalf of the Botswana Harvard HIV Reference Library, shortly followed by Dr. Tulio de Oliveira, who uploaded data on behalf of his team at the Center for Epidemic Research and Innovation in South Africa. And in response, this.
The US, Brazil, Australia, and Indonesia are among countries to bar travelers from southern African nations. Japan has banned all foreign arrivals. Morocco has halted all inbound flights, and Israel has closed its borders for 2 weeks.
The quick response of those early data collectors clearly were given their due by a grateful planet.
We're all lucky that South Africa alerted us to the dangers of Omicron. And thanks to them, the White House issued a ban on travel from 8 countries in southern Africa. So far, it's only been found in the southern African countries of Austria, Belgium, Canada, Czech Republic, Denmark, France, Germany, Hong Kong, Israel, Italy, Japan, Netherlands, Portugal, Spain, Sweden, and the United Kingdom. Oh my God! That's most of It's a Small World.
As you hear from African nations, specifically South Africa, saying that they feel like they are being discriminated against, that they're being punished for making sure that their science is up to date and for making sure that they can detect new variants.
President of South Africa, Cyril Ramaphosa.
The only thing the prohibition on travel will do is to further damage the economies of the affected countries and undermine their ability to respond to and also to recover from the pandemic.
Some outlets didn't even credit the researchers in Hong Kong, Botswana, and South Africa who detected and shared the news about Omicron.
The very first reports in the news that came out were in The Guardian and Newsweek, and they failed to mention any of the names of the researchers who discovered the variant, who did the work sequencing the viruses, collecting patient samples.
Jeremy Camille is Associate Professor of Microbiology and Immunology at Louisiana State University Health Shreveport.
They failed to even mention that these data came from the GISAID sharing community, which has been getting this really important data to save lives to flow from places like Brazil, from places even like Iran, or countries that don't get along with the United States very well, like Russia. Those countries also share via GISAID, and they share rapidly. And we are one humanity, whether we like it or not. These viruses show us time and time again that they don't really have much respect for borders. They'll make you sick, and they'll kill you.
But what difference does it make whose name gets checked in an article? Given the stakes here, why should we care?
If you don't recognize those who provide something valuable to humanity, in this case, giving vaccine makers a head start, saving lives, producing that new recipe that's going to protect you from Omicron, then there's a very significant risk that that work won't continue happening because the people who are doing it aren't going to get the acclaim that they deserve in their countries. And so the people above them are going to say, hey, you shared this data from our university's effort funded by these mechanisms in our country, yet all the acclaim is going to a researcher in San Diego or someone in London or Cambridge, England. And instead of us getting credit for it, we've got rewarded with a travel ban. So now the prime minister and the public are angry at us, and our funding agency, who gets money to support your work, is having its budget cut because of the travel ban. So all this sharing is just punishing us. And then the neighboring countries that are just learning to sequence and detect new variants sooner, their political leaders are going to say, stop it. Sequencing creates variants and travel bans. It doesn't do anything good for us. And then what happens is a lot like what happened with Delta. It took months to find out that there was a new variant. If folks in India or whatever region around India where it may have first emerged, we know it was probably Southeast Asia, the virus emerges and spreads very far, and there's a long latency. So some researchers maybe sequence it, and then they keep the data on their computer. They're going to put it into the public domain at some point, but they're going to wait to get their paper accepted so that they get formal recognition for their work. And in a public health emergency, that's a recipe for disaster.
So in the coverage of the Omicron variant compared to, say, Alpha, which was first detected in the UK, the UK scientists and researchers got credit. But in this current case, you mentioned the public health researcher in Hong Kong, Alan K. L. Tsang. You've also talked about others who have played a key role and didn't get credit. Dr. Moyo and his team in Botswana, you say, played a key role, and De Oliveira in South Africa also played a huge role. But particularly the South Africa team have been getting the blame for the variant. What's the nature of the blame?
It's just a typical protectionist response. Political leaders are probably afraid that they'll be voted out of office. You know, what did you do to prevent this variant from getting here? And we often see a double standard. I mean, cases have now been announced in England and Germany, and you hear their leaders talking about how, oh, we have it contained, we don't need a travel ban in Europe, and oh, it's already here, so don't worry. But they aren't talking about removing the travel ban against South Africa or Botswana. You know, there are probably special circumstances where a travel ban would make sense, but we are about 2 years into this pandemic, and we've had time to develop tests, we've had time to develop vaccines, and we really need to think about the cost benefit of punishing countries who release data quickly, because it's very likely that this variant did not start in South Africa or Botswana. It likely started in some other under-vaccinated areas of Africa. And we've failed as a global community, especially the wealthy countries in the global north, to share our vaccines with countries in Africa and other lower middle income countries in Latin America and Southeast Asia. And that's let the virus run rampant there. And we know that when the virus gets into, say, an immunocompromised person, and there's a lot of cases of HIV/AIDS, sadly, in sub-Saharan Africa that are not well treated or treated at all. So when the virus gets into people who have decreased immunity, it can sit around for a lot longer time and persist. The immune system comes on slowly and weakly. And so the virus has a more comfortable training camp to develop a countermeasure against, say, an antibody that neutralizes the spike. And so we see an example of many different changes that accumulated. Another theory is that Omicron evolved in maybe some kind of animal reservoir and spilled back into humans from those animals. We do know this coronavirus spilled really easily into mink and in North America into white-tailed deer. There may be some species of animals in Africa that were infected, and then it spilled back into, say, someone who interacted with an animal in some way or another. But in any case, we don't know that this virus actually emerged in these countries that we're punishing. We just know that these are the countries that shared the data rapidly and are doing a good job sampling people in their communities, sequencing the virus that's making them ill, and sharing that data with the world. And, you know, there's that saying, no good deed goes unpunished. And I think this is a very good example of that.
Can you give me an example of what happens when researchers don't get credit for their work or face backlash for their discoveries?
I look at a country like India. The history of how they've been treated by Great Britain and Europe has made that country very protective of data that comes from India. And so their government has a culture of being very protectionist and ensuring that there's significant benefit that comes back to India if they release data, and that if they generate data, that all the collaborations are within India and the researchers there that I've spoken to, they really want to work with researchers in the West. They do tell me, be aware that our hands are a little bit tied. We don't give away Indian data to Western researchers. That reaction is there for a reason, and it came from how they were treated for decades. It causes significant risk to us in the context of where new viruses come from. We know that new variants of Ebola don't crop up on the Harvard Medical School campus in Boston. They don't crop up on the campus of Oxford in the UK. They tend to crop up in places that are off the beaten path, that are former colonies, places like Botswana. I mean, it's great to have someone from Oxford or the excellent Christian Anderson from the Scripps Research Center help us understand evolutionary theory of these viruses. And there's definitely a place for Westerners to chime in. But we do have to give credit where it's due. We really do. If you want to keep seeing these data, it's just critical. There's hundreds of stories where people in former colonies or poorer countries were, in essence, totally disregarded and swept aside, both in the scientific literature and the media coverage. And it's literally writing their names out of history. Mm. And it's a really sad and destructive thing. And I think in the pandemic, it couldn't be clearer that there's a real cost and risk and that you can count in human lives. I mean, imagine if we didn't know about Omicron, we didn't have Gisaid, we didn't have Sekule Moyo, we didn't have Tulio de Oliveira, we didn't have Alan Tseng in Hong Kong. Moderna and BioNTech would be 2 or 3 weeks behind in updating their vaccines. Those are 2 or 3 weeks slower that we're going to have shots in arms of the most vulnerable people, even in our rich countries that we've been so selfishly successful at protecting. So should be in our enlightened self-interest to address this problem, starting at by acknowledging the people who do the work.
Jeremy, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on.
Jeremy Camille is Associate Professor of Microbiology and Immunology at Louisiana State University Health Shreveport. For a full list of the researchers in Hong Kong, Botswana, and South Africa who swiftly shared their data on the Omicron variant, go to onthemedia.org. There you can also find our latest Breaking News Consumer's Handbook, Variant Edition, all on one printable page. And all the other Breaking News Consumer's Handbooks, too. Coming up, most of us are actively engaged these days in avoiding death. But some seek it and find it quite literally out of reach. This is On the Media.